Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Named to Talkers Magazine's Heavy 100 for the second year in a row.
We tell you over and over again that you're wonderful, and you just don't get it. What's wrong with you?
Congratulations, Jim Blasingame, our small business advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. Mr. Wonderful here. At least that's what Beverly Williams calls me. She does that all the time. And she's our guest this half hour. She's a longtime original member of our Brain Trust. She's the co-author of The 30-Second Commute. She's one of the world's top experts on home-based business issues. She's the 2002 SBA's Home-Based Business Advocate of the Year. And she's our good friend, Beverly. Welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you and good morning. We're starting off the year with a very large ego, are we?
Are we? I thought you always call me Mr. Wonderful.
Oh yeah, just not to your face.
Oh okay.
You have a wonderful ego. Now I.
It's cute, isn't it?
It's cute. I'm always interested in how your show gets introduced. You're very unique in how you do that, Jim.
Well, that's the idea. I'm supposed to be unique. Beverly, it's good to have you here. Before
Thank
we
you.
Get into the last myths. We've been doing a series on the myths of home-based business.
Right.
Before we get into that, I want to at least do one, or if not both of the last two. I wanted to say that recently we've gotten in a rash of requests from people who want to start a home-based business, and you and I've talked about this before, probably several times,
mm-hmm.
but I think it bears mentioning again. And they say, we've been getting these emails where they say, you know, how do we choose between this deal and that deal? And,
mm-hmm.
you know, how do we know which one's legitimate, these home-based business offers,
right.
these opportunities for what you used to call a business in a box.
Right.
And so there seems to be I'm seeing a lot more interest in home-based businesses these days. But unfortunately, it seems like a lot of them are people looking for a business in the box, and they want us to help them find the legitimate ones.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and there is no magic pill, folks. I wish there was. No, I really don't. I think that it's important for people to do the research themselves so that they have a total understanding. And if no one thing is right for everyone, so there are legitimate business opportunities out there that might be right for you and not right for the next person. It's important that everybody knows how to investigate the business opportunity that they're looking at, whether it's to purchase a business package or buy into a franchise or whatever. You need to do the research yourself with help from other people. There's lots of resources available, but nobody else can do it for you. Nobody can tell you, here's the business for you, and do this one. And what I feel, Jim, is that people are looking for someone to give them the answers and then somebody to blame if it doesn't work out. And that doesn't work when you're self-employed.
Mm-hmm.
You only have yourself, and you better be learning to depend upon yourself.
The buck begins and ends with you when you're
yes.
home-based, doesn't it?
That's right. You accept the blame as well as the credit if something goes wrong or right. And that means that you have to do your due diligence, as lawyers say. You have to do the research. You have to find out for yourself what is right for you, your family, your household situation, whatever your circumstances are. There are lots of resources available, including the Federal Trade Commission, which keeps a fairly close eye on these business opportunities. If people haven't been to their website yet, I highly suggest that they do that. Like right now, as soon as the show's over.
FTC.gov.
FTC.gov, and then there is a link to the business opportunities or scams that they are looking into now, and there's an archive of what they've looked into in the past.
And also your state attorney general's offices can help you with that, too.
That's correct.
Because they may be a little closer than the FTC is to some of these things.
That's right, and they may have a different, the first level.
But don't assume just because these people don't have it on their radar screen that it is, that means that it's okay. You just may not have gotten there yet, or you may never get there. But Beverly, I wrote an article recently about the differences between wanting to do something entrepreneurial mm-hmm. and wanting to be an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
And it's two different things. And it always worries me a little bit when I know there are a lot of people out there who want to be a business owner, and they come to the correct conclusion that it's cheaper to do it, it's less expensive to do it from home if they can pull it off, but their motivation is to be a business owner. It's not to be a particular type of business owner. They're not in love with any particular thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's that but they're in love with the idea of being a business owner. And that's a little, it troubles me when I see that, and I'm not saying that it won't work, but it's harder. And I want you to talk to us about that when we come back after these messages. It's 20 till, on the wrong side of the clock, 20 till the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame. We'll be right back with Beverly Williams.
Skip the life and then go. Only.
We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate, and Beverly Williams is our guest and our good friend and an original member of the show, an original member of the Brain Trust, one of the original home-based business owners. Maybe not that far back.
No, not quite.
Not quite. And because I would go back a few thousand years. She's not that old. And also the co-author of The 30-Second Commute, which is an outstanding book that I certainly recommend, folks. If you are a home-based business or want to be, you need to get a copy of her and Don Cooper's book, The 30-Second Commute. And I know it's doing well. It's just flying off the shelves, Beverly, and congratulations on that. I was talking about, we're talking about people who want to start a home-based business, and they're looking into all these things that they want to go into. One of the things that I said in the past, Beverly, is make sure that if you're going into something that's not completely well known, like Avon or Longer Burger Baskets or, you know, or something like that, Tupperware, something that has a really solid, you know, record over the years of being a it may not be right for you, but it's right for some people.
A recognized name.
Yeah, if you're not going into if something you're going into is not well known, as you said earlier, be sure to do the research, but also make sure you talk to other people who have done it successfully and see how they feel about the company that's providing the products, and mm-hmm. make sure you got the right support. It's mm-hmm. it's very similar to researching a franchise, isn't it?
No, in fact it's probably just as important. You may not be putting out quite as much money up front as you would for a franchise, but you're putting your future at stake, and so you wouldn't do any of that without doing some real research on my website. And I say this only because we can't possibly give them all the information in this short period of time. On the website at www.beverlywilliams.com is a link to an article that I co-wrote with a lawyer friend of mine a number of years ago on how to evaluate a business opportunity. And
good.
It tells you the step-by-step from checking it out at the federal level, the local, you know, state and local level, down to how do you find out whether it really is something that's working for other people? How do you find those people, and what kind of questions do you ask them? So I would highly recommend that people go and read that article. Read the stuff that you've written about looking at business opportunities and how to evaluate them. Read as much as you can possibly read, because if you don't investigate, how do you know where the pitfalls are? It may
mm-hmm.
still be good. I mean, there may be some a negative column. I always tell people to get a piece of paper and put a line down the middle, put the pros and con headline on it, and then sit down and say, okay, what's good about this and what's the negative?
Mm-hmm.
Just because there's a negative, it doesn't mean it's not still a good opportunity, but you need to be aware of what some of the pitfalls are.
Being a small business owner, home-based or otherwise, is a wonderful thing, folks, but it's not easy. If it were easy, monkeys would be doing it. And so it takes time. It takes, you have to do a little research. You have to put a little sweat equity into this, a little blood, sweat, and tears. But that's now we get back to what I said earlier about doing something entrepreneurial and being an entrepreneur. If you want to do something entrepreneurial, if you want to find out how much you want to do something entrepreneurial, if you can't make it past the due diligence process, then you need to make sure you go out and find a job.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can make it through that, if you're willing, if you got enough fire in your belly to make it through the testing out of the opportunity, maybe instead of wanting to do something entrepreneurial, maybe you actually want to be an entrepreneur. Maybe you do have what it takes. And I think it's kind of a test of yourself as much as it is a test of the opportunity, isn't it, Beverly?
It really is. And it's important to know whether or not you have enough of the entrepreneurial spirit to be an entrepreneur. There is a difference, as you said, and the desire is wonderful, and it's important that it be there. Having the passion for something is extremely important. I've said that I don't know how many times over the last 15 years. It really is important to have a passion for what you're going to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to understand this is not an instant gratification type of thing. And unfortunately, that's a lot of way our society is. We want instant gratification right now. You're not going to get it from being your own boss and having your own business.
Give me patience and give it to me right now, right, Bev?
Give it to me now. That's right. Exactly right.
Let's move over and talk about one of the myths, Beverly. And the next one is myth number 9. Mm-hmm. I can deduct a lot of my business income with a home-based business deduction. So it makes more sense to have my business in my house. Tell us about that.
Well, I laugh because it works right into what we're talking about. I teach a lot of classes and workshops for people who want to start a home-based business. And one of the first things I ask them is, why do you want to be home-based? And I get, I want to be my own boss. I want to run my own business. I don't want to answer to anybody else. I want to have control over my money.
Which doesn't answer the question you asked.
No, not at all. But this one person recently said to me, well, I want it in my home because I can deduct my home office and save a lot on my taxes. And I was so dumbfounded. It was probably the first time I've heard it said quite that way. And I just sort of stood there and looked at her and felt like falling apart and laughing myself silly. Because the reality is the home office deduction really is very little money. Unless you live in a mansion and a lot of your mansion is taken up with your home office and you really bring in a whole lot of money, the reality is very different.
It's true, you can deduct, ladies mm-hmm. and gentlemen, but only if you define where you're working and only those things that are involved in your business. And as Beverly said, it's not going to be it certainly isn't a reason to become a home-based business.
No.
it may be the worst reason in the world to become a home-based business owner. Stand by, Beverly. We're going to take a quick break. It's 10 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're going to jump right out of here and be right back. Back, 17 till. No, it's not 17 till. It's 7 till. What's wrong with my time telling today, Beverly Williams?
Oh, no.
What is wrong? What's going on here? I can't tell time for some reason today. It's 53 after the hour, ladies and gentlemen. I'll get it right in a minute. Beverly Williams is our guest. Beverly, give us your website again, please.
It's www.beverlywilliams.com.
And when we get there, we'll find articles. I know you mentioned one very important one earlier, and others. We'll find out more about your book.
Right. Yes. There's some excerpts from the book. There's a list of other recommended reading material for you. Lots and lots of articles. There's some question and answers, frequently asked questions type of things.
If you want to be a home-based business, one of the best things I could think of for you to do, besides buying Beverly's book, is to go to her archives on my site and listen to all the interviews that she and I've done over the last 7 years. And here's some of the things, and every one of them are identified. You can find out which one is interesting to you, which one you'd like to know about today. And they're all really good stuff that Beverly shared with us over the years on some very important home-based business topics. And I can't think of a better place to go to find out if home-based business is right for you. I mean, we got it all right there on tape, and so to speak, and you can hear all the smart things that Beverly has said to us over the last 7 years. Beverly, let's talk about myth number 10.
Okay.
I'm going to have to read this whole thing, folks, because I love this. I can dress any way I want when I'm a home-based business owner, even in the nude. Beverly, about 4 or 5 years ago, a lady emailed me and said that she wanted to set up a bikini house cleaning. She lived in Florida,
uh-huh.
In Tampa, actually. I used to have the address, but I don't remember it. I don't know if I have it handy. But anyway, she said she wanted to set up a home-based business, but she was going to be operating a bikini house cleaning service.
Mm-hmm.
And wanted me to help her.
And you didn't jump at that opportunity?
I was going to go down there, but my wife wouldn't let me.
Well, you know, it might work in Florida.
It might.
You might get quite a bit of business that way. I think that my answer, the reality to myth number 10, is sure you can. However, most people find they need the structure of at least some clothing to stay in the mindset to work. Now, for people who might be nudists, they probably listened to that and said, oh, absolutely not. And for some people, it may not be a problem. For other people, it definitely is. It's especially in the beginning. I both laughed and got upset at the commercials I saw a while back by, unfortunately, one of your sponsors, who were typifying home-based business people as working in their underwear.
Mm-hmm. Well, they were just having some fun, Beverly.
I know they were, except that I got a little concerned about that, because the reality is that although you certainly could work in your underwear too, depending on your type of business, if you did have people dropping by, it doesn't give a very good impression if you meet a client at the door that way.
Well, you know, Beverly, for me, it's not so much a matter of having a client coming by, because I don't think that happens all that much.
No,
for most home-based businesses. But for me, it's what you said at the beginning of your comment, and that is getting yourself in the mindset. When I was home-based, even if I knew I wasn't going to leave the building, leave my house all day long, I was going to stay home, nobody was coming by, I got up, I put on my regular clothes as if I were going to be in a meeting all day,
mm-hmm.
and I got ready and I went to work. I just mm-hmm. happened to be at home.
Yes, I know a number of people who operate that way, and in the beginning I found it necessary to do that as well, to stay focused on my work.
I always did that. Now, in the 70s, Beverly, mm-hmm. when I was working for Xerox and I had a home office
mm-hmm.
as working an outlying territory for Xerox, I got up and put on a coat and tie every single morning and went downstairs to my office.
Oh, I have to tell you, as you know, my husband had a home-based business for almost 10 years,
mm-hmm.
and his was more of a blue-collar type. You know, he had a handyman service mm-hmm. where he went out and he had painted, you know, paint on his clothes and other dirt. So when he came home to do his administrative work, he put on nicer clothes. He never did his administrative or paperwork mm-hmm. in the home office in those work clothes.
There's something about saying to yourself, you know, that you're in business, that this is not mm-hmm. something. I mean, there's something about getting out of the pajamas. I'm with you. I think that's a myth that we should dispel.
Well, I will tell you that I often work in my bathrobe and can be quite productive.
Well,
but there's, you know, it's up to each individual person to find out how they do it best.
Yeah, but we'll talk about this nude thing another time. Beverly, thank you for being here. Good job today. We'll see you next time.
Gotta
go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.